So toxic positivity is the unrelenting to be happy and positive no matter what across all circumstances. And I think it's something that we put on ourselves and we also do to other people. And it becomes toxic in a few ways that we ultimately feel like we're not allowed to talk about the things that we're struggling with. So we're going to isolate more because if I feel like when I tell you about my pain, you're going to be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And this, of course, like breeds isolation. It makes people feel lonely. And we know that there are really bad outcomes when that happens.
One of the major reasons we do this podcast is to destigmatize conversation in men's health, and that includes mental health. Mental health constantly comes up in our podcast because it can impact so many other aspects of your life. That's why we are sponsored by BetterHelp, the world's largest therapy service.
And listen, guys, we get it. Talking about this stuff can be hard, but BetterHelp makes it that much easier because it's 100% online, so you can get the help you need from the comfort of your own home.
With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network.
For our listeners, we have a special deal. You get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/manup. That's betterhelp.com/manup.
So make sure you're taking care of your mental health and sign up for BetterHelp today. This is the Man Up Podcast, the doctor's guide to men's health. Each week on our podcast, we interview the top specialists of the field on various topics in men's health. You have questions that you are too afraid to ask? We have the answers. This week, our episode is titled, Keeping It Real, Discussing Toxic Positivity with Whitney Goodman. I'm Dr. Kevin Trudeau. I'm joined as always with my co-host, Dr. Justin Dubin. Justin, we were fortunate enough to kind of cross paths last week.
We were. We were both briefly in Chicago for the AUA. It was a good time. I'm still mentally recovering. It's a lot of learning, a lot of talking, a lot of connecting, but overall a really great experience. Did you have fun, Kev?
I had a great time. I was just there for a quick 24 hours. I wasn't even supposed to be there, but I couldn't miss that pretty face of yours, Justin. So I had to stop on by. But you also, I was able to catch also you did another great presentation on social media. You gave that talk at the SMSNA.
Yeah, correct? Thank you. I appreciate that. Basically, it was just trying to make, I think it's very, very important that physicians really understand the impact that social media has, not only on politics, on, society or, culture, but also in healthcare. We are really at a point, and I think we'll probably do an episode of that at some point, hopefully sooner than later. We should record actually, about understanding social media and how really to approach it from a patient standpoint, because it is an actual really big problem that we are coming across, and I almost see engaging in social media as a form of preventative medicine in many ways. So that's kind of my approach towards it. But it was a good talk. I had fun doing it, and the conference was great. Our NBA picks, I don't know if they're looking good right
now. Remind me.
I think we both took Sac in the West.
Yeah. Well, they're not. Present,
I know,
anymore.
But it was a great series. The Lakers, Golden State game is on now, and the Warriors are absolutely demolishing them.
Schedule loss, by the way.
The Heat are somehow alive.
Yeah, you can't. Jimmy Butler. You can't.
Jimmy.
You can't discount that guy, dude.
Yeah. So the NBA playoffs is just fantastic. I wish I was into hockey more. The Bruins lost, which I was happy to see. The Devils continue on, and so do the Panthers. So, the Panthers. New Jersey, Florida guy right here is really enjoying that. I'm getting a lot of shit from my friends being like, can you choose just a team? And, I don't know at this point. I'm not really a hockey guy. I wish I was.
Yeah, wait. Where are you at? Where are you at on this Knicks Heat? What are you?
Come on. Simple. I'm a Heat guy.
Wow.
100% of you guys.
Why is that? Why is that?
I grew up in New Jersey. I was a New Jersey Nets fan, okay? I was Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin guy.
Darren Williams, oh, right? Yeah.
Then Bradley was there. I remember that dude. I was a big Nets guy. They moved to Brooklyn, and I didn't want to follow them to Brooklyn. I was kind of disgusted by the whole thing. And at the time, the Knicks sucked. My dad and my grandfather were Knicks fans. And I've been moving around, and I kind of just didn't really have a team. I didn't have any loyalty for a while. And I moved to Miami, and I decided, I can be a Heat guy. And then so I've decided to be a Heat guy. I'm not against the Knicks, but if it's Heat Knicks, I'm a Heat guy, so I'm going for a Heat.
But you're a Yankees guy.
I'm a Yankees guy, yeah.
Well, so all right.
Everyone hates me. Everyone hates me, okay? Yeah, well, you're a Steelers guy, but people don't see that coming. They didn't know you grew up in the area, so, you're a Steelers guy.
Yeah, but are
you a Pirates guy? Man.
I don't, I'll be honest. I don't really follow baseball.
Okay.
I'm not a big baseball guy.
Who's your basketball team?
It was the Lakers. Kobe's my man for the longest time. But, look, LeBron's a great basketball player. But he's just not my guy. So I'll be honest. I'm rooting for the Heat. But I wouldn't say they're my team. They're just a team.
Your
that
son
I'm like, hey, look, you
has
know?
A Heat jersey, does he not?
Well, he was born.
Yeah.
He gets that.
So you're supporting him as a Heat guy.
It's where you're born. It's where you're born. So Justin, you weren't born in Miami. So,
Your son will never remember living in Miami. He was 1 year old when he moved. I mean, that's a crazy concept here.
It is what it is.
So
man.
He's a Heat guy. He's officially, you're going to grow him up to be a Heat guy.
No, once LeBron is out of the Lakers, he will adopt the Kobe mantra and be a Lakers fan.
Okay, okay. So that's also, I think, worse than me. But that's a different point. Your son is actually a worse sports fan than I am. And he's 2 years old.
Anyway.
So I don't. There's no good segue for this at all. But
there's no good segue. Stop being toxic.
Yeah. So basically, a more serious note. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we thought a lot of guys really don't like to talk about their mental health. It's a huge stigma within men and the male community in general. And we wanted to have a good friend of ours come on and talk about, some aspects of mental health. And this was a really approachable one from the standpoint of, I think everyone can relate to it. And it kind of makes sense as a nice transition to get people to think about mental health is this concept of toxic positivity.
I thought it was a great conversation. Just some things that we touch upon, you're on social media a lot, and we kind of touched upon social media earlier, But you're on social media a lot, and you might feel there's just so much good things happening around, and it's just always just, things envy, And so we kind of touch upon this term toxic positivity, and I think really eye-opening and also just important just for us to kind of talk about, right?
Yeah, Justin? Listen, we say it on the episode. There's just so much bullshit out there, right? There's bullshit happiness. There's lack of authenticity on social media. And even in person, in trying to support someone, there's bad ways of supporting people, and trying being too positive is really one of them. And, we were lucky to have Whitney Goodman, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and a friend of ours. We've known her for a while. She has a hugely popular Instagram account at Sit With Wit. And she's also the author of this book, Toxic Positivity, and the owner of the Collaborative Counseling Center. She has a private online therapy practice in Florida, where she helps adult family members have, better relationships, set boundaries, and navigate estrangement. And I personally read her book, and I thought it was really awesome. And I really wanted her to come on because it really hit a lot of stuff for me. And I think it hits a lot of stuff for a lot of people because I'm a realist, I think. Kevin, I think you're also a realist. I don't think we're the most, I think we're positive, but I don't think we're overtly positive. And I think that when you read this book and you see what we talk about, you know people or you do suffer from this at points. I do too. We all do that. You know, you're like, oh, I'm kind of obnoxiously positive and in a bad way.
Yeah. You know, and we talk about how it's okay to be right. positive, right? It's okay to be positive, but you know, it's, you know, sometimes you feel like you're just in this life of just chasing of like, you got to keep showing this positive, got to keep reinforcing this positive and just kind of showing that. And it, just like how you said, it becomes a little bit, you know, you're like, oh, that was a little bit obnoxious. You know, we even talk about it in the patient setting as well, you know?
And when you're talking,
so it's in all aspects.
Yeah, and when you're talking with your boys, I feel like a lot of guys are just like, they don't want to tell their friend or, you know, if you're just with the guys like, oh, yo, this is not okay. Like, if this is a problem, like, let's confront it. So that's actually an important part, right? You can't just always lift your friends up. You have to be realistic with them or not even realistic. You have to just acknowledge something can be hard. And a lot of times it's hard for guys and a lot of people, especially today, to just say, you know, hey, this sucks. I understand. And I'll go through the shit with you. But, and I think that that's one of the bigger things that I learned, at least, because saying like, yeah, you'll get over it is not really the answer a lot of those times.
Communication's key and communication goes both ways. So, you know, that is important, but you know, hey, look, this was a great conversation. Tune in. It's an excellent talk and hope you enjoy it.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy. As doctors, you can usually find us in scrubs, but when we're done, we still want to wind down in nice, comfortable pair of clothing.
Luckily, we found Cozy Earth loungewear, designed with soft, durable, temperature-regulating bamboo viscose. It is the most comfortable clothing we have ever worn.
The matching men's joggers with the pullover crew have become our go-to outfits for travel.
We love Cozy Earth so much that we've teamed up for an exclusive offer for our listeners. That's right, you get up to 35% off the entire site when you use the code MANUP.
So if you're like us and want comfortable, stylish clothing, check out Cozy Earth and use our promo code MANUP. All right, we're here with Whitney Goodman. So Whit, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to be talking a lot about this idea of toxic positivity and your book, Toxic Positivity. And so just kind of, there's a lot of really great quotes you have. And you know, the first thing is, you know, this book is for people who are exhausted from pretending to be happy all the time, work at home with their friends and on social media. They're tired of good vibes being forced to them and being told everything happens for a reason. And I think that struck me, and I think it strikes a lot of people. So just tell us in general about what toxic positivity is and how too much positivity can actually harm us.
Yeah. So toxic positivity is the unrelenting to be happy and positive no matter what across all circumstances. And I think it's something that we put on ourselves and we also do to other people, right? And it becomes toxic in a few ways that we ultimately feel like we're not allowed to talk about the things that we're struggling with. So we're going to isolate more because if I feel like when I tell you about my pain, you're going to be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And this, of course, like breeds isolation. It makes people feel lonely. And we know that there are really bad outcomes when that happens. The other part is that it forces us to suppress our emotions, which there's a lot of great research now that shows the more you suppress your emotions, the more they intensify, including those negative or distressing feelings. And they're just going to end up coming out in other ways, whether that's like your sleep, alcohol consumption, eating, whatever it is.
Those are really great points. I you know, it resonates that whole idea of that, like, you know, sometimes like, you know, like, oh, you know, this, you know, I'm not feeling so great about this. And I'm afraid to tell someone because like exactly what you said, that it kind of gets discounted. It's like, oh, that you're doing great overall. I'm like, whoa, hey, this is, you know, not making me, you know, feel good. But how about on the sense that, you know, there is toxic positivity and there is also healthy, you know, positivity. What are the like main differences between those?
Yeah. So most people are like, oh, how can positivity be toxic? How can it be harmful? And I think we have to remember that positivity is a great thing. Optimism has a lot of good health benefits. It becomes toxic when we take it too far. So when it becomes dismissive, minimizing, shuts down the conversation, or when we use it in these really big moments where we know people are struggling, like when they're grieving, you know, when they've just had a kid, like all these moments that we're like, we know that's hard. Why are we going to try to tell somebody it's not? That's when it becomes toxic. And so there's this really fine line of like, how can I hold space for what's true right now, what's hard, what's real, and also make room for hope and optimism in the future?
I think it's a great point. And, you know, as doctors, I think Kevin and I, and Whit, obviously, you know, you deal with this too. Like, we deal with hard things when we're talking with patients. And sometimes I tell a patient, you know, this fucking sucks. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, imagine going to your doctor and they're like, oh, everything's good. You're great. Like,
yeah,
it's just not going to work. You would never want to go to that doctor.
You have cancer, but hey, things are all good. It's
But you know, that's something I encountered so much when I worked with people who had cancer. And I talk about this a lot in the book, was like, there was such this push of like, you got to be positive if you're going to beat this. You know, people talking about cancer as being a gift. It changed their lives. And I was like, oh, this just,
that's not,
there's no way this feels good, but your doctor's in front of you saying this. And so you're like, oh, I guess I need to believe this because he's got, or she has all the answers, you know, to get me through this. So I'm going to try to be positive.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a positive, but there's realistic is kind of what we, what we have to deal with. Like, something fucking sucks, it sucks. It's okay to say that. And you have to acknowledge that if you're ever going to get kind of over it, or at least face it head on. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads to the next question. Like, why do people tend to use toxic positivity if it really doesn't help us?
Mm-hmm. I think we feel so helpless when people are in distress. And like, I see myself falling into this, even though I wrote this book. Like, if my husband complains to me about something he's upset about, I want to make him feel better so bad. Or like with your children, that you just are like, okay, how can I fix this in the quickest way possible? Right? And because their suffering is so uncomfortable for you. And I'm sure you feel that as doctors, as human beings, of like, I'm supposed to make this better. It's my job to fix it. And when you are really uncomfortable sitting with uncomfortable feelings, you're more likely to use toxic positivity because you have good intentions, because you want to take their pain away. And so I think it's important that we remember that this isn't like an evil, often like toxic behavior. It's something that we do coming from a good place. But once we realize that it doesn't work, that's when we have to be like, all right, I need to try something new here.
Yeah, I totally, you know, I identify with that, Justin. I'm sure you do too, because, you know, Justin, I try to do the same thing as that you do. I keep it really realistic when I talk to my patients. I'm like, hey, look, this is cancer. This is pretty bad. And, you know, it's going to be a struggle. But then, yeah, sometimes they start crying. And, you know, I start finding myself trying to make the situation better because, you know, with intention, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, but you know what? It's going to be fine. We're going to get through this. And it starts moving in that opposite trajectory sometimes of what I had intended out to do. And so, you know, are there some strategies, or is it, you know, in your book, you talk about a list of ways in which positivity can become toxic. You know, can you highlight these for us?
Yeah. So I think what you're talking about is like, you're noticing that you're trying to make the other person feel better and it's not working. So it intensifies, right? And so in these moments, what I would recommend is like, you're always going to try to validate and then show the person that you're there with them. So saying like, I get that this is hard. This is really scary. I'm going to do everything I can to help you through this, to find the best treatment, to research what's going on. And so if you can always try to pair like, I'm validating what's happening here in this room, and I'm going to be the anchor or the guide to help you through this, that can be really powerful, and that's not toxic. I think when it becomes toxic positivity is when you're dismissing or denying what the other person is experiencing. More of this way of like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, so I've heard doctors say before, like, this is a good cancer to have, you know, things like that, where you're like, what?
Guilty. I think I'm guilty.
I've said that before. Because it's good in your world, right? Of like, oh, this is good treatment outcomes. But for any person who's not in that field, they're like, cancer is not something I want period, right. Yeah. You know, that you have to try to think about how can I look at this, like this person's humanity, and pair that with my medical knowledge, I think is always a good way to move through it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so hard to not do that for anyone. Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of guys are even less, I don't even know. Like, it's one of those things, like for guys, I think they try to be pretty supportive, but I don't even think they're often emotional or like more vocal about how they truly feel, which is kind of like one of these ideas in your book when you're saying, you know, when you're trying to be supportive of your friend or a family member, you don't have to always be positive. And, you know, you can't be like, oh, look on the bright side, like we've been saying. So for guys specifically, because I think that a lot of guys have difficulty addressing their emotions, addressing their friends' emotions and their partners' emotions, their family members' emotions, how can they better support, you know, their friends, their family members in a way that isn't necessarily toxic?
Mm-hmm. So what I hear across the board from women, especially in relationships with men, are like, he always just wants to fix it. Right. And I just want him to listen. Like, that seems to be a universal.
That's pretty simple. We can't do that.
Yeah. And so it's something, you know, whether it's like socialized into men, like this idea that like we just need to take control and make it better, that I would recommend like for all men to practice this skill of like, can I ask what you need in this moment from me, especially of like your friends? And it can seem kind of cheesy, but like once you start doing it, it gets easier of like, do you want advice from me right now? Do you want me to step in and fix this? Or do you want me to just listen to you? And sometimes it might be like, I really want you to take over and just fix this problem. And you might also find that your spouse or whoever, when they get home from work, is like, I just want you to listen to me like bitch about my boss for 30 minutes, not try to fix anything. And then we can move on. And you'll notice that those conversations actually flow much more smoothly and they end quicker when you just learn to like nod along and be like, yeah, that sounds terrible, instead of giving suggestions.
But there's like a part where it's like, you don't want to be like, what can I do? How do you approach that? Right. It's because like, also if you're like, how can I fix this problem for you?
Yeah.
It's not the most pleasant way to address that. So how can someone be like forward about that in a way that's not necessarily confrontational, right? Because it can become confrontational in that manner.
I feel like it's okay to ask, like, obviously whatever tone of voice is appropriate for your relationship, just like, do you want me to just listen, or are you looking for solutions or advice on this? And sometimes I will ask that in a way that's just like, I want to make sure that I can do the right thing here. And the other person will say, I just want you to listen. And they might get into a point in the conversation where they're like, all right, I'm ready for advice now. But I think the more you do this in your relationships, you get used to it and you almost don't have to bring it up as much because you know how the other person flows. Like, I have clients that I've worked with for years that I know they just want to vent for 20 minutes. And then I'm able to be like, all right, let's talk about what we could do differently. But if I started the session that way, they probably wouldn't come back next week because they didn't get to go through that process of just like sharing at first.
Sharing is caring.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a lot of the things that we kind of see as a theme through a lot of the, you know, our guest speakers that we kind of bring onto the show, that, you know, there's a lot of listening that needs to be done. And I think guys have a big problem with that, right, Justin? Just
absolutely.
It's pretty fundamental, but we struggle with it. And a lot of it is what you say, with that we kind of like, maybe as the time as it's ticking, you're like, all right, like, how do I fix this? And quickly try to jump to that, you know? So let's get to our next question now. Clearly, toxic positivity is a problem, right? But being positive is also important. You can't be negative or realistic all the time. So how do you recommend we find that balance and create this idea of healthy positivity that you use in your book?
Yeah, so I love this concept of radical acceptance, which is from dialectical behavioral therapy. And it's really this idea that we're able to look at life as it is and not fight with reality. And that means being able to make space for all the things that are part of our reality, right? So it could be that it's raining outside and it's gloomy and we don't get to do what we wanted to do that day, but we also have a home and a roof over our head and we ate a good meal. And like being able to just look at, this is what is in front of me, and not let one cancel out the other, but learn to hold them all at the same time. I think as a culture, Americans especially have the tendency to live on one side of the extreme, right? It either has to be all positive or all negative. And the healthiest place you can be for your mental health is being able to like go like this throughout the day and feel a lot of different moods, not in like a chaotic way, but in a way that's like, oh, I felt anxious this morning and then I got over it. Now I feel good. And I was able to ride those waves easily.
Yeah. It's like one of the, you can't, if you're happy all the time, you're never really going to be happy. If you're sad, like you can't feel an emotion, all the emotions, if you're always one emotion and you're not even going to feel that emotion. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just that whole idea. And, you know, there's just so much positivity that you see in the world. It is nauseating.
Yeah.
to be honest with you,
it
right?
is. Like,
I don't know. We actually have a, you know, I think a lot of people have a different perspective. A lot of our listeners probably, because, you know, you go to work, you look on social media, you see all this stuff. And, you know, in your daily life at most jobs, people are just positive, right? They're trying to be positive at work. They're trying to be positive in front of their colleagues. We see people that are at their worst. So like, I think we are lucky in a way to kind of have that. But when you shift the perspective and you see how much just nauseating positivity there is out there, like, I think we have more than others the ability to kind of roll our eyes at it. But I don't think a lot of people can. And maybe exactly like you're saying, is it kind of elevates everyone that they have to, you know, be at that status quo.
I want to say something. I read this article the other day and it really resonated. You know how, you know, they're saying kind of how nauseating LinkedIn can be sometimes, because LinkedIn is just all like, because it is like a career forum, everything is just positive. Yeah. Like, look what I did. Look what I did. And I agree. I was like, wow, this does get nauseating
it's
after
so
a while.
It's so true. It's like somebody who was homeless that made $1 billion and climbed Mount Everest. And like, if you're just like a regular person, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm failing.
They're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Every like year, there's like some LinkedIn post that gets like you said, a million.
Yep.
It's like I trained my son from the age of 18 and now he has taken over my business and turned it into a $5 billion company. Like,
exactly.
Who the fuck is this guy? Yep. Chill out, man. I mean, that's so inspiring. It's like, get the fuck out of here. But I mean, it really is just one of those things. But, you know, to kind of reverse that, though, things aren't always black and white, right? And maybe toxic positivity is actually okay sometimes. You know, is there, I know we're using toxic positivity, it obviously has a negative connotation, and we all agree it is a negative thing. But are there situations where it's okay to have toxic positivity?
Yeah, so there's a really good book called Rethinking Optimism, I believe it's called, or Rethinking Positive Thinking. And she talks about this idea that there are moments where really like overwhelming positivity and optimism can be helpful. So particularly people who are in prison, people who are like, you know, war prisoners, all these types of things where they would dream about what's going to happen when they get out, what's going to happen when they escape this difficult situation. That can be really helpful to help you get through like life-altering situations. I know they did interviews like on Holocaust survivors where that was a big tactic that was used in these really difficult situations that I think we can all agree that when you are in a particularly life-threatening, challenging situation, it can be good to almost be delusionally optimistic of like, what are we going to do when we get through this? How wonderful is it going to feel? And that's more of like a daydreaming type of thing. Mm-hmm. Really fantasizing about the future. And that can be extremely helpful. And I think has gotten people through some life or death situations.
Well, then what about stuff like cancer? Because we brought that up. So mm-hmm. is it okay for some cancer patients to some degree on occasion to have a toxic positivity outlook? Because it is complicated, mm-hmm. right?
It is.
That is, like you said, a life-altering situation.
Yes. So I think what I saw really reflected in the research is that that can be helpful as long as it doesn't go to this degree where people then start avoiding treatment. They start avoiding end of life decisions. We see that people do not make good choices about things like life insurance, wills, talking to their family members when they become too positive and they're living in a fantasy.
Steve Jobs, baby.
Yeah. It's like, I share a story in the book about a mom who did not want to tell her child that they had cancer and wouldn't use the word. And that's like a situation where I think it could be really toxic.
Yeah, that's a great point. We see that, you know, there are the patients who come in and they're like, you know, I've thought a lot about this and I'm going to will this out and I'm not going to get treatment. Now for a lot of things, you know, I say fake it until you make it. But in your book, you say when it comes to positivity, this likely isn't a good thing to do. Why is that?
So fake it till you make it can be good within reason. But I think at times it can become a little bit delusional or overly positive. So I have worked with like students, for example, that are like, oh, fake it till you make it. But they're like failing out of school. And they're like, I'm going to get into med school. I'm going to do this thing. And it's like, this is not working. I think it's helpful when you have the foundation where you can be like, I have realistically done everything to get myself into this position. Like I remember when I became a therapist, or you guys probably when you became doctors, you had that like imposter syndrome to some degree, even though you had every right to be there. So that's when it's worth it, right? But if you're somebody that hasn't done what you need to do to get there, I think that's when a dose of reality can be more helpful.
I think it's so that is such an important point for a lot of people. And I think a lot of younger people, because I've counseled, I used to do admissions consulting for med school. I was on the med school board and, you know, I would help people and I would see people who I knew I could not help. And I would tell them, but they didn't want to hear. I would tell people, I don't want to waste your time. You cannot get into medical school or like with what you're doing. And they'll go back and they'll try for 3 years. And then the outcome is, you know, the same. And some people don't want to face that reality. And I think that's for a lot of things. You know, I have friends and we've all had friends, you know, where you catch up with them. Like, what are you doing? They're like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to do this. I'm like, okay, so what are you currently doing? It's like, oh, you know, I'm just doing this little side thing. And it's like, okay, so maybe you have to live in the reality of, you know, you're not everyone's going to become a millionaire entrepreneur or whatever it is, but you have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in reality. Yeah. You like not dreaming and like, I'm going to figure out this hustle thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really important because you're never going to succeed if you don't understand your weaknesses in many ways.
100%.
So I think the next thing we're going to talk now about social media, because I think that is really a big component and has become a big problem is, you know, and I think one of the worst things about toxic positivity is obviously this lack of authenticity that comes up with it. You know, we're flooded online with so many positive messages, friends, colleagues, we talked about LinkedIn, the social media stuff. And when it comes to men's health, there's like a lot of more and more misinformation and, you know, guys struggling with whatever they're saying and then they change their ways and they're now their best, most authentic selves online. And it's pretty much all bullshit. I mean, that's the truth. It's all bullshit. People buy it. And I think really one of the most important questions I have for you for our listeners is, you know, how can people differentiate authentic positivity versus toxic positivity online and on social media?
It's hard because you're never going to get anybody's full story, right? So I always suggest that anything you're viewing online, you remember that it is a snapshot, right? And I like to come back to myself that like whenever I feel like I'm seeing all of someone's life, whether it's an influencer, whoever, think about how much I show online. It's such a small percentage of my life that it's got to be at least somewhat true for this other person and like what it would be like to see all those other moments and just like constantly reminding yourself of that. And I think if you ever get into this headspace where you're watching someone's life and be like, they have it all, their life is perfect, you need to unfollow them Like, you need, you need to stop following them. Like, whether that's your friend or like a someone you don't know, because nothing good is going to come from that once you're in that space. Like, I remember after I had my son, I was like, oh, I am unfollowing all of these people you're watching people like, I'm like watching people like in Mykonos, like doing whatever, and I'm sitting on the couch. Like, I don't need to see that right now, you know?
100%. Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, you're just kind of like holding the, you know, your whole little kid. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. But then I start clicking through the stories. I'm like, oh, yeah, Mykonos. Ooh, that boat. Oh,
right?
Wow. That food looks amazing. Yeah. What am I doing?
Exactly.
It's true. I mean, like, I really stopped following a lot of those people. Like, the things I follow now are like cooking stuff. And like, food, like, because I'm like, all right, this provides value to me. It doesn't make me feel like shit.
Yep.
So like, I'm going to enjoy like learning how to cook better or like these life hacks. I like all of that stuff. And I think that a lot of people are moving towards that. But when it comes to men's health, unfortunately, a lot of that stuff is life hacks for improving your health, which most of it's bullshit. And it's all like, well, I did this so you can do this. So, and you, especially out of all people, know that that's not how it works, right? What works for someone is not how it works for another person.
Yeah. Anybody selling like a quick fix for a big complicated problem, whether that's positivity, a supplement, a workout course, to me is like something
Man Up supplement
to be wary
may be
of.
Coming out soon. But, you know, just kidding.
Our supplement's going to be good though. It's gonna be
Yeah, for sure.
ours is the one that's going to fix everything.
It's going to change it all.
So how can we be better at expressing healthy positivity, authenticity, and, you know, less toxic positivity online and on social media? Because there are benefits to social media, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it comes back to, like, you don't have to share everything about yourself online to be authentic or to not be, like, toxically positive. I feel like it really is, like, how am I living my life offline and how am I living it online? Am I trying to only portray my life as one thing? Do I find myself like sitting in the chair crying, but I'm putting up a smiling Instagram post with like a happy picture? That might be inauthentic for you and not feel good. So I just recommend people like put stuff up online when you feel good about it, when you want to, but also be honest and transparent with the people in your life about how you're feeling and with yourself. And that can make it feel a little bit less like there's this huge discrepancy between who you are online and who you are in real life.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think, you know, there's another spectrum to this as well, which is, you know, you see people online being real and talking about something and their problems online and on social media. And honestly, for me, you know, because like, you know, people say it's okay to not be okay, which is the contradict, like the opposite of the toxic positivity. But that is actually, I think, almost just as bad sometimes. Like, I feel like this being real and being authentic lacks authenticity, and it's kind of worse than toxic positivity. Can you comment on that and how we can like find a balance in there for that?
Yeah. You know, authenticity has become like commodified in a lot of ways, right? It's like people are doing it online to get more followers, to get attention. It works in the same way. I also feel sometimes like as a mental health professional, this whole like, it's okay not to be okay stops people sometimes from asking themselves, why do I feel like this all the time? Like, it's okay to be anxious. It's okay to be depressed. Like, but if you're anxious and depressed every single day, you want to know why that's going on. Like, you want to get treatment. You don't need to feel like that all the time. And so I think sometimes we've made it like that it's normal to feel bad all the time. And I don't want people to feel bad all the time. Like, I get anxious, but if I was anxious every day for 6 months, I'd be like, oh, something's going on. Like, I might want to get blood work done, go see my doctor, figure out what it is, you know, or maybe my job sucks, whatever. That you should also look into that.
That's a good point. So one of the reasons why, you know, Justin and I, you know, started and have this podcast, because we want to help guys deal with difficult topics such as like infertility struggles, sexual health issues, and relationship issues. And these are things guys just absolutely don't want to talk about with anyone, you know, friends, families, or even their partners. So what advice do you have for men dealing with these issues and are hesitant to talk to anyone about these problems?
So I would say my practice is like 50% men, and they all echo the same thing that you're saying of like, I just can't talk about this with other people. And I feel like as a therapist, I have this unique insight that all the men are saying this, you know, to other people, that it just takes one person being brave enough to like bring it up. And I think you would be surprised how much the person on the other side might be like, oh my gosh, thank God he's talking about this so that I can talk about it too. And if you are really nervous about that, like getting practice doing it in therapy, even with like a male therapist, I think can be a really good exercise of like, I'm going to practice talking about this, get myself more comfortable. And then you might be able to do it in social settings a little bit more easily.
Well, I mean, it's not even only about like social settings. You know, if you ask Kevin, you know, most of the guys who come in for fertility problems, they're there with their partner. Why? Because they won't get their ass in the door and they don't want to acknowledge that problem. And it's usually the partner who's answering all the questions.
Oh, yeah. They'll be like, oh, she knows. She knows.
That's literally it. And, you know, just like, I think it's hard if you're that person, obviously. Like, I get it. But I think if you can take a step outside and you look at it from the perspectives of what we're seeing and like from the perspective of your partner, you're really putting a lot of stress on your partner. And you obviously love them. You care about them. And it takes two. And that struggle really should not, like the way I look at it is like, don't put that extra burden on your partner if you don't have to. And I'm not putting blame. It's just a difficult thing to talk about. And by not acknowledging it, you know, you're making someone else's job two times harder almost, you know?
Yep. They're doing a lot of the emotional labor.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, comments on toxic positivity that you think we missed that you really think our listeners should know about?
I feel like you guys asked so many great questions. I think just reiterating, like for men listening, that you don't have to fix all the problems. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just like nod, make eye contact, say, wow, that sounds really hard. And that is like all the fixing that you need to do for the day.
I hear you. Yes. I'm listening to you and I accept you.
There you go.
I'll do that more with you. Don't worry, I'll do that more with you. I'll do less fixing for you.
Kevin says that to me all the time.
Love it.
But all right, thanks. So everyone go check out Whitney's book, Toxic Positivity. Where can everyone find you, your information, your book? Give us all the info to our listeners.
You can find me on social media, Instagram, whatever, at Sit With Wit, and everything else is linked through there. My book is sold everywhere books are sold.
It's a great book. Highly recommend it. Awesome. Go check it out. It's a easy read, but it really it sticks with you, and it's a timely, important book to read, especially in today's with everything we're talking about here. As for us, thanks for listening. As always, you know, check out our podcast wherever podcasts are on all the apps, Spotify, iTunes. Download, subscribe, give us a review, 5 stars. We really appreciate more reviews, comments. That really helps us out. YouTube, subscribe, please. That helps us. You can follow us on all social media platforms at The Man Up Pod. Kevin, what's our website?
TheManUpPod.com.
And that's it for Kevin and I. Thanks for listening. Until next time, have a good one.